Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor. This is Friends of History Debating Society going to San Diego with Jeff Bliss. He is Pacific Watch, but we're going back into the mists of memory. This is young Bliss attending a Comic-Con at San Diego, early 1970s. Why this matters is the economy of California is recovering from the pandemic. And yet, headline, Wall Street Journal, San Diego struggles to recover as Comic-Con stays virtual. With Comic-Con and other conventions sidelined, the city's leisure hospitality industry employs 50,000 fewer people. Lead paragraph, July is typically a make-or-break month for many of this West Coast city's restaurants, San Diego, bars and trinket shops. Just as the nation's retailers look to turn profit for the year on Black Friday, small businesses here pin their livelihood on conventions, whose thousands of attendees filter into the city to spend money. Not this year, writes the Wall Street Journal cruelly. Comic-Con International San Diego, an event featuring sci-fi actors, authors, and other celebrities that typically draws more than 100,000 visitors, is being held virtually this weekend. Jeff, a very good evening to you. I have never attended. I came close to something that's like it in Japan. You attended very early on. What is this phenomenon in San Diego, and what is it like to be a young person there and then to be a grown-up?
Good evening, John. It was thrilling as a young kid. I was a young teenager, went with a friend. We were really into Star Trek at the time. I believe this was 1974. And we went to this sci-fi comic book convention at this old hotel in San Diego, the El Cortez Hotel. It's very famous there. And, you know, wandered around for a better part of the day, met some of the Star Trek actors, sat and listened to panels, looked at all the collectibles that they were selling at that time. Of course, the collectible market has grown in several magnitudes since then. It's a real full-on industry. But now when you go to Comic-Con, and back then it was really kind of had a feeling of like, oh, it's a nerd convention. Well, now it's nerd convention on steroids in a way. There's so much money behind it. It brings in hundreds of millions of dollars a year to the San Diego area. You get all kinds of big name stars that turn out to, talk about their movies, their TV shows, for retrospectives of what they've done, you know, their portfolios of their work. You have artists of all kinds, both cinematographers, photographers, cartoonists turn out for this. And it draws people really from all around the world, for this big event. There are other Comic-Cons or similar conventions around the world, but nothing quite like the Comic-Con in San Diego. And without it, San Diego feels it, you know, in a very big way in their wallet.
So there's young Bliss wandering through a hotel in San Diego with merchandise around him and not buying everything. Do you understand what those collectibles are worth today, young Bliss?
I know. I think I bought a frame from a Star Trek original Star Trek show that had been clipped from the editing floor, and I had it in a case, and of course over the decades I've lost it, but it was a clip from one of the Star Trek episodes. I don't know what it would be worth today, but I think to myself sometimes, how could you have lost that? That's probably worth something.
No, you'd found a restaurant with that, Jeff. I mean, really, this is Star Trek. This is like attending the Globe Theater and seeing an early version of Now let's go to the twist here, the California twist. San Diego is open. You attended the racetrack the other night, and you told me there were no masks, no distancing, young people celebrating, correct?
That's correct. The only people you saw in masks are people that were working in the food service part of the park. I think some of the workers at the park were being asked to wear them as well. And then some of the elderly would wear it. But generally speaking, 99% of the people there weren't wearing them. We were down at Huntington Beach today, which was very, very busy. And again, the only people you saw with masks on were the elderly. Everybody else has given them up. They're out there having a great time.
All right, so let's put a call into Sacramento. What the heck? The San Diego Convention Center is where Comic-Con would be. And it's not happening. Now, does this make any sense? Was there no priority thinking that if the masks are going to lift, we need to tell San Diego right away and they can start planning?
I think the problem really has been with San Diego's and Comic-Con is they have been waiting for the all clear. And by the time they were getting word that it might be okay to do something like this, it's too hard to put something together at the last minute. Now, they're talking about having the event in real time, in real life, in November. But, you know, a lot of things could happen between now and then. We're already seeing some of the counties move back to mask indoor mandates, and some are even talking about moving back to lockdown.
Take us to a Comic-Con then. You wonder, now the only equivalent I have is that I was in Tokyo and my host took me to a Tokyo Giants game, which I love, but that's inside an arena, inside. Outside the arena are all kinds of merchandise and they were having a costume contest in some fashion where people would dress up as, I guess, characters from Japanese comic books. And they would stand there and have their pictures taken. Is that what Comic-Con is like?
It's not unlike that. So you have a multitude of booths there set up in a convention hall, or several convention halls. It's so big that you'll have booths where people are selling collectibles, where certain stars are posing for photos as a way to hype their new TV show or movie. There are all kinds of booths set up by the studios, by video game companies. It really is a place to not just sell collectibles and to see things, rarities, displays, museum-like displays, but it's a place for them to hype their shows. I did go to a similar convention a few years back, if you know the music group Kiss, and I got to know one of the members of the group Kiss, and so I got invited to one of their conventions. It was much the same thing. Now, it wasn't on that scale. You still had several thousand, you know, very fervent fans, and they were buying collectibles and looking at the rarities and the different things from the years they've been a group. But at Comic-Con, you're talking about a very rabid group of fans that do all sorts of things. They have special masquerade balls. They get involved in what they call a cosplay or costume play. And it involves also, you know, showing up for contests, costume contests. And some of these costumes and makeup deals they go through are just remarkable. They look as good, if not better, than you see them in the movies. Think about Star Wars or Alien or any kind of science fiction or fantasy movie. And some of them even come up with their own looks, their own designs that are really out of this world. I've got to believe that a number of these people must be Hollywood makeup and design and costume artists because it is so good. It exceeds much of what you see on TV and in film.
Jeff, at a Comic-Con, you can buy things, you can see people. How does Hollywood use this?
Hollywood uses it primarily to promote coming projects as well as to celebrate existing properties that they're still pulling money from. So they might have a cast or crew that was part of a great film like, say, Star Wars, for example. Say it's their 25th or the 35th anniversary of some great film. And they'll bring them there to Comic-Con. It's a chance for them to talk about what happened. Of course, all the fans are there. But it's also a way to sell, to not only sell what's been out before, the library of things, all things Star Wars, let's say, but also to promote the next edition of collectibles, whether it's, you know, a new director's cut or some special edition that's printed on a paper, whatever it is. It's a way for the studios, TV, film, even music and video game creators to sell their goods.
Is it appropriate to take small children there? If you have a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, do you see people with their primary school children?
I have seen young children there with them. I don't know if I've seen them quite that young. But typically, it's not inexpensive to go. Tickets can be pricey. And so the adults that are very involved with it are thinking, I want to have my time with, you know, my interests there. I don't necessarily want to be pulled away by my kids. But you do see some families there together. And what's interesting is when you see a family that dresses up, say, all as part of, like, you know, Han Solo's Millennium Falcon crew or the Star Trek crew. That's kind of cute seeing a whole family like that.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch, and we're reminiscing about Comic-Cons. He's now, as soon as this conversation is done, he's going to get in his time machine and go back to 1974 and snap up all that merchandise, including, Jeff, make sure I have this. You had a genuine piece of film from a Star Trek episode?
It was. If I remember correctly, it was one with Nomad, which was a robot that was enforcing things in the universe, if I remember correctly. And I just remember picking out that clip to buy from the editor because I remember that episode so clearly. And now I just, like I said, I'm kicking myself. I didn't hang on to it.
Well, I'm kicking you too. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.